Why don't we pray as we look at God's word together? Lord God, we thank you that we have these true stories that tell us about the birth of the rescuing King. And as we look at it now, Lord, we pray that you would speak to us. We pray that we would hear your voice and go from here changed. Amen. Do you feel troubled? Do you feel troubled? Bewildered, perhaps? In a state of hopelessness? Bombarded by circumstances? Do you feel troubled? Do you feel like you need being rescued? Maybe it's circumstances of life that are troubling you. Maybe you've got financial worries. You know, bills are increasing, inflation's at 5% for the next year, we're told. But our salaries or our pensions aren't increasing by that much. Maybe you've got unexpected bills to pay. The car insurance has suddenly gone up for the next year, and you're worried about how you're going to get the money together to pay for that. Maybe there's something else you need to pay for. Christmas presents. Well, we all know the cost of Christmas presents, don't we? And there's the gift for Aunt Maud. Even though you haven't seen her for 5 years, you've still got to get the gift for Aunt Maud. And you don't know where the money's going to come from. Perhaps you need rescuing from financial worries. Perhaps that's not your worry at all. Perhaps your trouble is actually yourself. That you're so concerned about what other people think about you. About how you look in the morning. You can't leave the mirror until you've just really made sure that everything is perfect. And then when you go out and somebody might say something, well, if it's a comment that's slightly guarded or deflating you, then it hits you for six. And you're just going, I just wish I wasn't like that. I wish a rescuer would come who could help me with that. Maybe it's none of that. Maybe it's illness. You've got long-term illness and you just want rescuing from that. When will the time come when I can be healthy once more? Whether it's mental health issues or headaches or whatever it is, we just feel, where's that rescue going to come from to help me with my trouble? Or maybe you're sitting here and you're going, actually, you know what, I'm fine. Oh, I haven't got any of those problems at all. Actually, life is quite all right at the minute. It's not me that's in trouble, but there's plenty of trouble in the world. And there's plenty of people in the world that need rescuing. And, well, we'd be right. I saw on the news just again this week about the whole refugee crisis as people leaving the Middle East, flocking to northern France and setting up camps and villages there just in the hope of being able to make it across the English Channel. And it was only last month, wasn't it, of the absolute tragedy of 27 refugees drowning in the English Channel as they board this dinghy no better than what you'd put your children in the sea in a nice warm day, and they're being made to cross the English Channel in that. There we go, yes, absolutely, a need for rescue. And we'd be right. Well, what does God have to say this Christmas about our need for rescuing? Does he even care about my problems? Does he care about the world's problems? Absolutely, he does, yes. And I'd wonder if you could turn back in your Bibles to Luke chapter 1. It's page 1026, if you've got one of these red Bibles. And we're going to begin to see what God has to say about our need for rescuer. Let's just reread Luke chapter 1, beginning at sentence 30. But the angel said to Mary, "Do not be afraid. You've found favor with God. You will conceive and give birth to a son, and you're to call him Jesus." Well, what's that got to do with rescue, you might think? That sounds about as far from my problems and my needs as I could possibly imagine. Well, how's that any help to me today? But then we begin to remember that names have meanings. And Jesus is no different in that regard. Jesus means God saves. Jesus means God rescues. God has come on a rescue mission to save people. To save people like you and I. Jesus has come as that rescuer to seek and to save lost people. People who know that they need rescuing. Yes, but you say, that's all very well and good that Jesus can mean rescue, but all this nonsense about angels coming from heaven and virgins conceiving and giving birth, yeah, right, it just doesn't happen. That's the stuff of fairy tales. That's myths and legends. Many of you know that for the last 12 years, my family and I have been in New Zealand. And one of the many great things in New Zealand is actually some of the quirky adverts that we get. They really are on a budget. You know, they just get the shop workers to do the adverts. You know, so you go for the hardware store advert and you've just got the guy dressed in the kind of mega Mitre 10 apron doing the advert. I mean, mega budget stuff. And there's a drinks company called Tui, and some of you who've been here before will know these adverts. And their catchphrase is, yeah, right. You know, these things just seem impossible, right? Can I see, have the picture, please, Umang? And here's a couple of their recent ones. Camilla for Queen? Yeah, right. Working for New Zealand political parties? Yeah, right. That's the stuff of myths and legends, isn't it? You know, Camilla becoming queen? Yeah, myths and legends stuff. And maybe you think that this whole Christmas story, the birth narratives about Jesus are the same. Fairy tale stuff. Yeah, right. If that is you, you're certainly not the first to think like that, and you're certainly not going to be the last either. But Luke isn't daft to such thoughts. Luke, who wrote this biography of Jesus, in fact begins his whole biography by addressing that one objection. So if you would, just come with me back to the first couple of sentences of chapter 1. Many have undertaken to draw up an account of the things that have been fulfilled among us, just as they were handed down to us by those who from the first were eyewitnesses and servants of the word. Do you see what Luke is saying? He's saying, look, I'm a historian, I'm a doctor, I'm a researcher, and I want to write for my friend Theophilus, who we come across in the next sentence, I want to write for him an orderly account of the things that have happened. And in order to do that, I need to go and find eyewitnesses. I need to go and interview them to check that the things that I've been told and Theophilus has been told, to check that they're right. So it's what he did. So Luke would have interviewed Mary. And she would have said, he would have said, Mary, can you just tell me one more time, please, just so I can record this down, how these things happened? And she sort of said, well, it's just like this. Just like we've had recorded. You see, Luke is perfectly happy to bring in the supernatural card, to play that card if you like, to talk about angels and virgins conceiving, because it's what actually happened. And it's what we need as well, isn't it? We need God to break into our world. We need heaven's world to enter ours in order for a rescuer to come. Because left to ourselves, we're in a state of despair. We cannot rescue ourselves. And he's come primarily then as a rescuer from sin. Jesus has come as a saviour from sin. Now, sin's one of those kind of misunderstood words today. I can remember when I was growing up, there was the Cadbury's milk tray adverts. And sin was seen as simply indulging a little too much at Christmas in the milk tray chocolates. Just one too many. Oh, but it's a sin. Naughty but nice was kind of sin growing up for me. But actually, it's got nothing to do with that. Sin is about that life centering on myself. It's all about I. Life must revolve around me, my desires, my choices, my wants. And everyone else, and certainly God, is way down the list, if even considered at all. And so we're told that Jesus, the rescuer, has come to rescue us from ourselves. Because sin, like that, is the root cause of all those self-inflicted problems that we find ourselves in. When we make those really big stuff-ups, it's because in our hearts we've rejected God and we've put ourselves as kings and queens of the universe. And when problems come upon us, not necessarily to ourselves, it's because, well, other people are sinners too. Sin is the fundamental problem that Jesus has come to save people like you and I from. The problem is, though, that we can try and hide from our sin. And we can therefore try and hide our need for being rescued from sin. We say things like, well, it's not really that bad. It was just a white lie. It was to protect the other person, really. And I'm not really that bad. For example, I follow the COVID rules. You know, you'll never see me without a mask in the places where it should be on. The problem is actually those who make the policies in 10 Downing Street. Those people who say no Christmas parties, but then go and have one themselves. They're the problem. And so we hide. We hide and we try and run away from our need for a rescuer because we don't think sin's a great problem. I don't know if you've seen the recent BBC documentary, Confessions of an Ibiza Drug Mule. It follows the story of Michaela McCollum, a 20-something-year-old girl from Ireland, who, like many, have gone to Ibiza for a summer. They've gone for the drink, the drugs, and the rave. But it wasn't long after she arrived that she started being groomed to be the drug mule. So to start with, she was just given a little package and asked to take it to mainland Spain. You know, and here's a few £100 for your troubles. No one's going to bat an eyelid at that. But she arrives in Spain, and then before she knows it, she's on a plane to Peru, where she's got to transport multiple kilograms of cocaine back from Peru back to Spain. And she feels helpless in this situation, but goes through with it. And after a few weeks of trying to be undercover in Peru, she ends up back at the airport in Lima with a ginormous suitcase with bags of cocaine stuffed throughout it. Well, unsurprisingly, she gets caught out and she's arrested and she's imprisoned. And after a few years of imprisonment in Peru and being released for good behaviour, she comes back home to a media scrum. But this is what she said in one of her interviews afterwards. She said, I was running away from troubles, but I couldn't admit it. I was running away from troubles, but I couldn't admit it. And I wonder if that's you with sin. Perhaps you're thinking, it's not me that's the problem. My sin isn't that bad. I don't have sin. Are you running away from it? And then are you running away from Jesus, the rescuer, who's come to deal with your sin? I wonder if that's you today. Because Jesus is saying, if that is you, he's just saying, stop. Stop running. Stop denying sin in your life. Own up, confess, and, equally importantly, let me be the rescuer for you this Christmas. Back in 2018, before the whole COVID pandemic began, you may remember in Thailand, there was that wonderful rescue story of the young boys, the football boys, the Wild Boars football team in the caves. They'd had their football training as usual. And then afterwards they'd gone, like they did many a time, into the cave system. But what they hadn't accounted for this day was the rains that were coming. The rains that then flooded their way out so that they couldn't get back in. Sorry, they couldn't get out. And so they went further and further into the caves, looking for safety. But then the water levels continued to rise. And so they moved up onto a ledge for safety and then used rocks to make it more of a cavern so that they could stay there safely in order to be rescued. Meanwhile, on the outside, panic buttons were beginning to be raised. The boys hadn't returned home and the parents are worried. And they look at the football pitch and there's no one there. But then someone spots the bikes by the cave entrance and everyone puts two and two together. To start off with, locals try and find them, but then the water levels are too high for them to get into the cave. And so they bring the Thai Navy SEALs in to dive through, but they're being pushed back by the currents. And the rain continues to fall and the water levels in the cave continue to rise up. And then the international experts come in. And finally, after 8 days, these cave experts, divers, managed to find these boys and their coach alive and well. And pictures going around the world of celebrations and happiness that this didn't end in disaster. And then over the next 6 days, the rescue operation is planned out meticulously. How we'll rescue these boys who can't swim in these dangerous flooded waters. And then 3 days after the first boy was brought out, all of them are back safely in hospital recovering with their coach. But in the wonderful rescue story, we sometimes forget that one rescuer lost his life. One of the Thai Navy SEALs ran out of oxygen underwater trying to find where the boys were early on in the rescue, and he died. The BBC in their conclusion said this: "This rescue shows the length some people will go to save someone else's child. This rescue shows the length some people will go to save someone else's child." Well, that can be said of God this Christmas. This is the length that God will go to rescue you and I from our sin and from pretending it doesn't exist and from running away from our rescuer. This is the length God will go to. He will send his one and only Son to come to earth, to take on human flesh, to be born as a baby under the darkness of Bethlehem skies to rescue you and I. But it's a rescue that would end 30 years later, not in normal darkness, but in supernatural darkness. As Jesus hung on the cross, not in Bethlehem, but outside Jerusalem, dying for your sin and for my sin, facing the judgment of God, hence the darkness covering the earth at that time. As Jesus hangs there on the cross, he's dying for you and I. He's dying so that we can be rescued from our sin, from our self-absorbed lives, from thinking that life must revolve around me. That's why Jesus came and died. And so God's inviting you today. He's saying, will you let me be your rescuer? Will you realize the costliness of my love for you, that I'm willing to send my only Son to be born and to die for you? Will you let me give you a new start in life, is what he's saying. And it's a new life that is totally different, because it's a life marked by relief. A relief from being worried about other people's opinions. Because you know that God's opinion of you, that you're a precious child loved by him, matters far more. It's a relief from, am I good enough? Am I performing well enough in my work, in my school, in my environment? That doesn't concern you anymore. Because all your imperfections are covered by Jesus' perfections. You're relieved from worrying about, have I enough money or have I too much money? Because you realize that the value of Jesus and the value that Jesus is to you is far more than any gold or silver. And it's relief from the circumstances of life, whatever they might be, battering you, because your roots are now secure in Jesus. It's an amazing love. It's an amazing invitation that he's giving us this Christmas. And I expect for many of us, it's an invitation and a love that we've heard of many a time before. And perhaps we've even spurned it before. But the magnificent news is that God's love is so great, however many times we have spurned it, he comes to us one more time and says, I'm inviting you again. Come, let me be your rescuer. Let me give you a fresh start. Let me be the loving ruler of your life. The invitation is there for each one of us. But we have to choose to say yes to Jesus and yes to the invitation. I'm going to invite Umang and Shana up now, and they're going to share us a little bit more about what that rescue looked like for them.